Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, what's up? This week, we do not have a pre-roll, but I want to just talk to you guys about something just off the cuff, something I've been thinking about. Like, how often do you use excuses like, I had a long day at work, or I'm just not feeling it, instead of doing the horizontal mambo and getting down and either plugging holes or getting holes plugged? It isn't easy to talk about erectile dysfunction, but Roman makes it easy to discuss and treat ED. Go to GetRoman.com/JRVP to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. Again, that wasn't a pre-roll. That was just me kind of just talking out, thinking out loud.
This is why I miss our conversations as friends.
I know. I felt like we could take time off because we exhausted every like aspect of ED, and now we just talk about different headlines. But for a while there, for years, we always had something. It was a deep well, but like any well, it's gonna run dry.
I mean, the ED well goes, you know, there's different corners to it. There's a lot to explore.
I say we get a shovel and keep digging, but let's do it later.
All right, we've got baby giraffes, a dead jockey, and a restaurant with incredibly bad branding, all coming up on episode 88 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP, Junior Vice President.
Look, I always liked you at med school, okay? I genuinely like you. And I can't stop thinking about you spitting in my coffee. So go to lunch with me this weekend, please. If you don't like it, we can have a safe word and you can leave, no questions asked.
All right, this is the part where you tell us what that quote is from.
That was a quote from a movie I watched this weekend called Promising Young Woman. That line was spoken by Bo Burnham, who was really good in the movie. A Promising Young Woman, it's about a, I like to call it the movie about the girl who pretends to be drunk. But it's actually a movie, I recommend the movie, but it's about like a bunch of characters who all went to the same medical school. Every single person in the movie coincidentally went to the same medical school. And I liked it a lot. Great idea.
I was thinking of buying that. That was like the last, I feel like that was a trailer, like when we went to see Cats last Christmas. Christmas Eve or Christmas or whatever, or it was like one of the last trailers I saw while going to movies before the pandemic, and I was like, oh, that looks badass, I'm gonna see that. And it delivered.
It is, yeah. At first I was like, oh, I don't know about this, and then by the end I was like, I'm totally all in, and I've been thinking about it. I like it. Promising Young Woman. I also watched the Tiger Woods doc this weekend. I did not like it. Wasn't a fan. Waited for both episodes to be available on Sunday, and just didn't like it. There was nothing they told me that I didn't already know about Tiger Woods just from reading a couple articles. And it seemed like every time they showed him golfing, he got it in the hole. They didn't show him miss any putts. He just like, it was like, oh, he's doing it again. And I'm like, I seem to remember he was struggling for a little while, but not in this doc. And then I also before I ask you guys what you did. I also bought, I committed to the NHL season this year. I bought the NHL package, and I'm all in on the Penguins. I've watched all four games this year. And at first they were getting killed. They lost the first two. And they've won just before we started recording tonight. They won in overtime against the Capitals. Got swept by the Flyers, swept the Capitals. So I'm going to watch every game this season. That's my promise to you, the listener.
Good to hear you got your TV fixed.
Just the Apple TV part. I've just been downloading apps, and because I have cable, I can get everything for free. But it's been annoying, and my TiVo's useless. I have to do everything with commercials. It's not ideal, but we play the game with the soldiers that we drafted. I think that's a saying.
I don't think it is. This would be a great place. You know, most people, they don't know where to get their Penguin scores, the results.
No.
You know, you could check the internet, but it's like, why bother? How about just have a nice weekly update from Anthony?
Exactly. You play the game with the soldiers that you drafted.
I'm doing kind of the same thing. I bought the NBA League Pass, and I've been like way into the NBA, I think, just because I need some more distraction in my life during this pandemic, and find myself watching like, you know, Kings Blazers games at 10 p.m.
Do the kids like it? Do the kids watch?
Yeah, they're into the NBA. Although I do most of it after they go to sleep. But yeah, they like it. We watch a little Celtics. We've got a lot of Kemba Walker gear because they share the same name, and that's cute.
Exactly. You play the game with the soldiers that you drafted. That sounds good. I've been do some other things. I've been doing a little update on my life. I've been domesticating, and I've been cooking with a crock pot. I have a crock pot, and I've been making meals, and I'm obsessed with it. Even though it's torture, it's like, because you cook it all day long. You cook it for like 6 hours, 8 hours, 4 hours, sometimes whatever, depending on the recipe. But you have to sit in your place and smell it all day long, and you just want to eat it right away. Like, you just like, it's been an hour, let's eat it now. But I've been eating some very good meals this week. But just all day long, I'm hungry. I'm waiting for the thing to come out of the crock pot. I think you're supposed to put it in and then leave your place. And then you come back and it smells good. And you're like, all right, let's eat. But to sit inside all day hiding from the COVID and smelling chili just makes you ravenous.
Well, you're allowed to eat, you know, other things before, like, yeah, during the day.
Sure,
eat a lunch,
snack,
eat
but
lunch,
it's like, yeah. I've spent hours making this meal. Now I just want to eat it. I'm just thinking about when is it going to be 8:30, and I can eat this. But it's been
this
good.
This is exciting.
Even more exciting. I've been waiting for this. I've had Rummy, my dog, for new listeners, my dog Red Rum, for seven, almost 8 months now, 7.5 months. And I've been waiting for him to catch something. He's a big hunter. He likes to hunt. He goes after birds. He goes after everything. And he caught a mole. My dog walker took him to a trail. Said he dove his head into a mole hole, whatever it is, and came out with a mole in its mouth. And she screamed, said drop, and he dropped it right away. And the mole ran away. It was fine. That was always what I thought, was that Rummy wanted to catch something, but it doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't want to hurt anything. He just wants to grab it in its mouth and hold it.
Yeah, we all feel like that sometimes. Us, Army Hammer, everyone.
When you see, is that how you met your wife? You just got it by the scruff of the neck and wouldn't let go?
What is a mole really doing in 2021 anyways? I feel like, what is the purpose of moles?
You don't want to see a dead mole on the side of a trail. I've been hiking on this one trail, and you hear coyotes going nuts, and you know they got a dog. Like, sometimes dogs go off the trail and coyotes get them. I've been walking Rummy, and people are like, be careful with your dog. I'm like, tell the coyotes to be careful. Rummy will eat them all. If there could be a nuclear war, it'd just be cockroaches and Rummy.
You could crockpot up a little mole if he brought it back to you.
That's not a bad suggestion. Just throw the mole in, just see what happens after like 5 or 6 hours. You have no idea until you open it up. It's fascinating. Anything else happened to you this week, Greg? Did you catch them?
I did not. No. I don't know. This is like the point of the NFL season where even I'm sick of hearing myself talk. You know, it's just like too much talking. A lot of talking.
I mean, the listeners get it. You know, I know Emeka's fired up for football. And it feels like, I mean, to me, it seems like she's pouring herself into the NFL now during the playoffs to kind of cope with the loss of this presidency. It's been, I mean, Emeka's been riding high for 4 years, and it all ends tomorrow. And she's, you know, she's coping. She's been, you know, maybe a little more physical with the kids than she would be normally. But I think it's just, you know, did she want to be at the Capitol? Yes. Would she like to be at the Capitol tomorrow? Of course. Maybe some tears. Is she going to take down the poster?
Well, we're the poster's still up, at least for now. You know, we're taping this Tuesday night, Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, that's the day, according to a shockingly large percentage of the country, like, you know, blood will be running on Wednesday. So we'll be talking from a different world.
That's what, I mean, when I talk about the poster with Greg, Emeka had a poster made, commissioned, a little over 4 years ago, of Donald Trump dressed like Uncle Sam, pointing out at the person looking at the poster, and it says, "Blood will run. Blood will run forever." That and she loves it. It's huge. It's huge. He has to kind of curl up onto the ceiling, like it just it doesn't artistically. It's unfavorable, but it sends a message to anyone who visits your house.
The last time you talked about, you know, Emeka, who's my wife, you know, also for new listeners, who knows, this might be their first show. Anthony's a comedian, you know, I'm his friend, worked for the NFL, snuck that in there. My mom listened to that episode, and he was just like, she was just asked, like, why did Anthony keep talking so much about Emeka and Trump? And I said, I don't know. You know Anthony.
Listen, Emeka is just, and people have their passions. And Emeka's, she had a choice. She could choose her husband and her family or the president. And she wasn't a huge fan of Obama. I remember when you guys were about to get married, she was like, we're going to try this out and see who wins the next election. Obama got elected, and she just kind of white-knuckled it through those 8 years and then was able to relax like a muscle. You know what I mean? Just like you can't really walk right, and then for 4 years it just evaporates, and you can just kind of be yourself, she would say. She's like, I feel like I could be myself for 4 years, and now with President Kamala Harris, as my dad likes to say, Emeka's going to be white-knuckling it again. It's a lot of tension in the house, I assume.
I mean, it's been tough, you know, without the entertainment of Trump's Twitter feed the last couple of weeks. It's just like, what do you do with your day?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could just listen to your son, Walker, and like transcribe that into a tweet and send it to your wife, and it would be the same thing.
It was his birthday this last week, by the way. You got him a nice present.
Yes, and I'm not going to take too much credit. I ask Greg every year, you know, what to get them for Christmas birthday, and he just said they'd love a children's Kindle. I didn't know they made those, but I wasn't going to order anything from Amazon this year, but I've already broken that promise once or twice, and now a Kindle. It's just feeding him into the Amazon machine. I may as well have taken your son and just thrown him into the jaws of Jeff Bezos and said, good luck.
It's kind of a bummer, like the day after the birthday, and this happened, I remember, the day after Christmas too, where just like the kids like want to relive that day again. Like where he was in a terrible mood the day after the birthday, because the birthday's over and you're as like far away from the birthday as possible. And it got me thinking too, because like the night of Christmas, like, Ellis was so excited, my daughter, to go to sleep and then know that she could play with all her presents the next day. And Walker was upset, you know, because Christmas was over for a whole nother year. And they're just kids, but I was thinking like that those two outlooks will probably like carry through your lives. And it's much easier to be, on the Ellis side of things.
Sure. I mean, I can see it for a child being tough that they're like, okay, we have these 2 days of the year, Christmas and my birthday, where we get presents and our parents acknowledge us and touch us, like give us hugs and spend time with us and talk to us and look us in the eye. And then the other 363 days of the year, they are watching basketball and podcasting. And I know Emeka for a while was just kicking out windows of her own home to pretend like she was getting into the Capitol. And that must be confusing to the kids. They don't understand what's going on. But I'm glad that Walker had a good birthday. What did you get him? What was the birthday present from Dad?
I got him a badass bike. That was my favorite present I ever gave him.
When did I get him the Thomas the Tank Engine bike? Wasn't that last year?
No, I think it was 2 years ago.
He's outgrown?
At least, yeah, for sure. He's now, like, he can ride a real deal bike. Those things are, you know, that was kind of like a kid's bike. So he's on it, no training wheels, biking around. He's loving it. It's great. Mm-mm.
That Thomas the Tank Engine bike was a bike for a man. That was not for a kid. I had to
it lasted 2 years. Things. We got plenty of use out of it. It was 2 years.
That's Tour de France. That's Tour de France eligible. You put him back on that bike. Break his legs if you have to. Erica, how was your week?
It was good. It was Katie's 30th birthday. So we went up to Santa Barbara and just went hiking and to the beach, which was nice.
And tell people who, not that that's not very interesting, and I would love to hear more about the hike on the beach at 30. But that's my rear view. I'm 42. You know what I mean?
Right.
30 doesn't mean anything to me. For people who had problems downloading or listening to the podcast last week, what do you have to say to them?
Ed, what do you mean?
We saw some notes. You addressed it.
Right. So I thought you were like blaming it on me because I was hiking this weekend.
Not at all. You just know the answer and I don't.
Yeah. So we like how podcasts work for people that don't know it. We, you know, we do our episode, we do our show, and it gets put up on a hosting platform. And All Things Comedy decided to move to a different platform. So there were a couple of glitches with some of the, like, not lesser known, but, you know, like your Apple, your Spotify, those big ones. Definitely
the garbage ones, the white trash ones. If you had Apple podcasts like I do, then you didn't miss a beat. But everything should be fine moving forward. And if it doesn't
everything
work,
fine,
it's not us. Don't blame
definitely.
Us. Blame,
or just blame. Tweet at me and I can try to do some digging if it's not on your
Tweet to Bill Burr directly. He loves that shit. He's all nuts and bolts.
Yeah, let's spend like a minute or two just talking about our hosting platform every episode. That could be
I saw
like
some people being I thought Erica could explain really quickly. I should have said keep it short and she just
broke, like,
she started like two people
seconds.
Talking to microphones and then we record it and then the internet which was invented by Al Gore in 19 get the fuck out of here. Okay? We've got shit to do. And speaking of shit to do, now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? No. No notes. Is that a new song, Erica?
Yeah, they all are.
Okay, I'm excited. I'm fully on team. Erica has done the bare minimum in terms of looking through the music library.
Sometimes I will see like a tweet at us about, or I saw some reference to, here's the note, get rid of Did We Get Any Notes?
I think I saw that, but they were trying to say All Things Comedy should start giving them notes so we have something to talk about during Did They Get Any Notes.
Yeah, we could it's probably.
Gonna, the day is going to come.
We don't get any notes. We should ask
I like
them.
This. This is like... I'm like the guy in high school who's like the bully who like never punches you but always like pretends like he's about to when he walks by. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep doing that. Even though you're pretty sure I'm never going to hit you, I might. I might one day. And there might come a note that's like, hey, Johnny Pillows isn't happy with your ad read and I'm going to put him on blast. Okay? I'll get you impeached, Johnny Pillows.
F that pillow guy. Did you ever get pushed or like punched by a random bully in school?
I had kid when I was younger. There was a guy who would punch me in the shoulder so much that I would have black and blue marks like down my arm. That I didn't at the time. It didn't occur to me that he was bullying me, but that's absolutely what bullying is. I did not like it. And then like later on in life, he tried to be like he's like, hey, you're going to be in town. Let's hang out. And I was like, no. I remember eighth grade. I did not like it. But yeah, that was about it. But my big thing as a kid was bullying my sisters. That's how I got it out of my system. You know, if you grow up without sisters, you don't know how to treat women in the real world the way that I do. My sister had twin beds in her room and I would sit on one of the beds with a stuffed animal. I would pretend to throw it at her, but I would hold on to it. And she would keep flinching, trying to do her homework. And then the second she stopped flinching, hit her right in the face. And I loved it. It was always funny. It's a classic bit. And my sister told me that her children now do that to her, that her daughter will pretend to throw something at her and not even hearing the story about me, but will pretend to throw something at her. And then the second she doesn't look or doesn't flinch, she gets hit in the face with a doll. And I just think that that's how I teach the children. People worry about climate change. I worry about kids not knowing the correct way to bully. You know, it's life lessons. And that was, did we get any notes? Okay. See, and now I'm happy. I'm happy with the music selections. If we do this next week and it's the same ones, then I think you're not doing your job again. But for now, I'm going to say good job, Erica. Speaking of Erica, we're going to go to a place right now that think of like an area of the country that's just surrounded by the National Guard and barbed wire and like everything's got to be virtual. That's Erica's corner. We're taking it down there right now. Erica Tamposi is our producer. She's produced 99.9% of the episodes. And we like, because she's so like hungry to just break out of the mold of being a producer. I don't know if you've ever produced anything. It's a terrible place to be in life. And she wants out more than anything. And so we like to kind of open like the window of her cell and let her see sunlight for like a couple of minutes of every week's podcast and let her carve out a section for herself where she can ask us a question, play an improv game. It's usually ask us question. And so, Erica, what do you got for us in your corner this week?
All right. We've got a fan question from Umit. I got a question for Anthony. He talks about
Umit, and this was I'm sorry. This is from Umit. How do you spell it?
U-E-M-I-T.
Of course, I should have known. And was this through the email?
Yes, it was, which is JRVP, Junior Vice President, at gmail.com.
And that's important to know because?
Because guess what? We're going to be answering a lot of fan questions coming up. A lot of people have been sending me emails like, hey, I email every week and my questions aren't getting asked during the show. You know, so we thought that maybe it'd be fun to do a mailbag episode where you can get real down and dirty with Anthony and Greg.
Mm-hmm. It's not because we want to take a week off. It's because we want to answer your questions and feel like you're a part of us in a way. And that was Erica's Corner.
Wait, really? You don't want
no,
me to
it's
read
not.
The
no, you can ask the actual question.
Well, I'll lift up the skirt a little bit. I said I'd also like to play a clip that someone sent in for you to react to. And Anthony emailed me back. If you play that clip, I'll fire you on the spot.
Mm-hmm. You're like, this will be a fun clip to play that they sent as well. And I said, absolutely not. And also, just to satisfy my curiosity and the listener's curiosity, when is the last time you wore a skirt?
About a year ago.
Okay. I believe it's been a year. I don't believe it was like a year ago. I don't believe that January 19th, 2020, you were skirting it up.
Yeah. I mean, I was at Super Bowl in Miami, you know, got to slut it up sometimes when you're down there.
Yeah, but slutty for you is like, you can see my knees through these jeans. You know what I mean? I've hung out with you. I know what you're all about.
Uh-oh, like I don't have shoulder pads in. Like,
ooh, yeah. I put on deodorant today. Shoulder Who's feeling pads? Risky?
Good one, Greg. You're ooh, so funny.
Ooh, Pert Plus last night. You know what time it is, everybody.
All right. Anthony talks about writing new comedy stuff, and I was wondering if he actively tries to avoid jokes or stories which requires the audience to have certain informations or context. For example, I'm a 26-year-old dude born and raised in Germany with Turkish parents. I consume stuff like the NBA, Netflix series, and podcasts in English, but when Americans talk about things that probably every American knows, like OJ or some serial killer in the 90s, there's often a lack of context on my side. So I was wondering if Anthony writes his stand-up for every audience, or if he just writes stuff which he thinks is funny. And then there's a little side note. Greg, hope you and your family can travel to Berlin as soon as this shit is over. Beautiful city. And for Erica, you rock.
I think from now on we can leave the side notes out of Erica's Corner. You know what I mean? We can just do the question, get the meat of the question, and then answer it. I think I understand what the question is asking. I always say, and I write way more jokes than I end up getting to use. I would say I'm about 5% of the jokes that I write end up making it to stage. And that's even just trying them out. But you want to... every punchline should have like a connection for the audience. And you need some assumed information and the information that you've actually given them. And sometimes it just doesn't work. So I write for myself, but if the audience doesn't laugh at it, it doesn't matter that I get the reference, you know? So if you're in Germany and you're joking about basketball, you need to find a way to make it relatable. Like if I'm talking about my dog to Greg, I'll talk about it in terms of having children. You know, if I'm talking about my dog to you, I can just talk about dogs because you understand dogs. You know, but you just need to find that there's always a way to get everyone on your side, but you can't just force it. You have to just find the middle ground or find a way to explain the NBA to a bunch of Germans who don't care. But yeah, try jokes that you like and only keep the jokes that they like, if that makes
sense. What about when you go international? Like, if you're like, I am going to Germany to do my set, do you tweak your
No, it's funny. The only thing, because I always say I'm a movie. You're going to see the movie. It doesn't matter. And some people will be, oh, you change some lingo. But if you go to London, I'm going to say elevator. I'm not going to call it a lift. And people know what I mean. And if I did call it a lift, they would be like, that's weird. You sound weird saying that. But when I was in Germany, the only thing that I changed, I was in Berlin and I had a joke about skinheads, I think, or Nazis. And normally I'm very straight faced after I tell a joke, but this time I told the joke and then the audience laughed and I laughed too. And I've never laughed telling this joke, but I laughed and I said, I normally never laugh at that joke, but when in Rome. And they all enjoyed that. So I like to try to find something that's like a little bit, you know, for them, but I just do. I'm always saying I'm doing my movie. I'm an artist. You're going to see my art. I'm not an entertainer who's here to entertain you, but you need both. You need them. Just because you like a joke doesn't mean it's okay to bomb with it. You should find the middle ground. And that's just volume. That's strictly volume. And again, I don't think that Erica rocks.
Well, you have like a I'm trying to think which joke. It's not a JonBenet Ramsey joke. Who's the mom that killed their kid? I mean, you
Casey
like
Anthony?
Casey Anthony joke. Like, you, no one's gonna know Casey Anthony necessarily overseas.
They did at the time. They knew goddamn well. I mean, Casey Anthony. If you're coming to see my show, you know who Casey Anthony is. You know what I mean? Like, if you go to see, like, it's like it would be if someone went to see your live NFL podcast. You assume they know what you're talking about. Yeah. And you start talking about the NFL. You're not like, I'm not worried that they're not going to have heard of the woman who killed her baby and got away with it. People are going to be goddamn aware. And I set the story up well enough. You know, when you in a setup, you've got to give them all the information that they need in the shortest amount of time. And you've got to get them thinking one way before you go the other. So you need to give the information in that setup to a joke is very important. But you want to give as little as possible. You don't want to over-explain or give information that they don't need to know.
Is there any concern that like this circle of like Jeselnik fans and Casey Anthony fans, it's like, or, like the Venn diagram is just basically like a circle. Like if you're into one, you're into the other.
I'm very happy with that. And finally, I'd be on the road and people would ask me, who would you come back to roast? And I would always say Casey Anthony, and the entire crowd, no one was like, who? Everyone knew exactly who I was talking about. It would be a great roast, by the way. Let's get it done. Let's get it done, Zombie Comedy Central. I bet you guys can pony up the $20 it would take to get her on a bus and send her to LA to get roasted. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. See, I love this. When you told me before that, like, yeah, I've gone through the library, I know what's up. I knew you were lying, and this is how I know you're lying.
Right. There's hundreds of songs.
Right, but you said classical. You wanted specific classical.
Classic. That was classic. That was like a Joan Jett, like classic riff. That was good. I like it. And so now the bar is set. The bar is set a little higher for next week, Erica. Okay. Greg, let's get the headlines.
Yeah, let's start with some sad news from the Nashville Zoo last week. A baby giraffe whose birth had been live streamed was killed shortly thereafter. After her mother stepped on her.
I like that Erica had to like, almost did a spit take, was taking a sip of water. I can see her on the Zoom. And when she heard that they stepped on it, even though she knew it was coming, we planned this out well in advance, she still almost spit out her water.
I had no idea it was live streamed. Like, that is horrific.
Well, the death wasn't, I don't think, live streamed, but yeah, it was like an hour after that it got stepped on.
See, so it wasn't just like, the miracle of birth, and then just like, boom. You know, Bambi versus Godzilla for all the animation heads out there who know what I'm talking about. You get the reference or you don't. I'm not going to explain it. It's not a joke. I think that animals falling asleep and killing their newborns is the leaving your kid in the car by mistake of the animal kingdom. You know, like people like put their kids in the back seat in a car seat and then they like get out of the car and go to work and they're like, oh my God, I left my kid. That's what stepping on your own baby for a giraffe is. That I don't think they're to blame. I think it should almost be encouraged. I know this happens with pandas sometimes, where the mom panda takes the panda and wants to hold it, but then it falls asleep and it falls over and crushes the newborn. Like, this happens more than you would think. I think especially, not just at zoos, but especially Nashville zoos. Nashville is just, it's a Wild West thing they got going on, where they're just kind of firing revolvers into the air and letting the animals step on whatever they want.
No, I mean, that was my reaction too. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. I'm surprised it doesn't happen. It's a miracle there's any giraffes at all out there, like, because their necks are so sensitive. They, like, you can kill a giraffe pretty easy taking them out by the neck, and the baby giraffes, forget about it. Like, could happen anytime.
You could not be more wrong. You're talking as if you know anything about giraffes. You ever seen giraffes fight? They just swing their necks and, like, bang each other with their heads. It looks metal as fuck.
But
the giraffes'
but when
necks are not sensitive. It's the most powerful muscle of any animal.
But they're also, like...
Giraffes can go to space.
They're also, like... They can, like, kill animals. This I know from, they can kill, like, lions and shit by, like, kicking them. So
giraffes,
like, those...
have a license to kill. Any animal that can kick, like, they'll go to get a zebra and the zebra kicks back and breaks the lion's jaw, that lion's going to die.
I'm just saying giraffes don't exactly know where they're walking around to and, like, okay, little, baby Zaza's over there. Whoops. Stepped on her neck.
I think that the giraffe may have had given birth and been like... I'm not giving birth to this uggo. I'll try again. And it was just like, boom, stomp it out. You know what I mean?
It's especially sad though, too, because, like, it's COVID and everyone's trying to, like, come up with, you know, heartwarming things, and zoos are trying to, you know, keep their content and keep people donating. We're members of a zoo. And it's like, so they have this live stream baby thing and thousands of people apparently watch it. And then they had to, like, send out an Instagram message like 2 hours later. They're like, so some bad news about that giraffe you guys all watched. And it was like a little picture of it. It was very sad.
It should have been like a blooper. You know what I mean? Like, the live stream's still going and it's like, oh, like Lion King music. And then it's just like, wah, wah. You know, like a bong, 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 bong. Like, that would have been okay. And then, like, rewound it so it looks like the mom gave birth to it by just lifting its foot up.
Oh. I mean, the giraffe, I mean, she failed. The mom failed. Basically, that's your one job is to keep your kid alive. I think of it like that. Like, that's, you know, you want to be nice to your kid and teach them certain lessons. But at some point, it's kind of like, well, if they're alive, you're being a success as a parent.
How many times have you or Amica stepped on your children?
I mean, I have stepped on Walker for sure a few times recently, I can think of. Because he doesn't
just Walker,
let me...
never Ellis? Ellis is quick enough, but Walker can't get out of the way?
Well, it only sticks in my mind because it's happened once or twice lately, like playing soccer or something, and he like brings it up all the time. You know, he holds it against me. It's like, you stepped on me.
I think this happens all the time, where like a baby hippo will get killed by another male hippo in the pack, you know, where they're always trying to, they don't want any competition. So they want to kill all the males. So nature, you know, nature's like me, I think, when it comes down to it. You want a baby giraffe? I'm down for a baby giraffe for a couple of minutes. And then it's all about this live stream's been interrupted. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. And now it's time for
ad copy.
A healthy life includes a healthy sex life. You can be healthy. You could be Carl Lewis in his prime. If you're not getting laid 24/7, it's not a healthy life. You may as well be smoking cigarettes. But if you struggle with erectile dysfunction, as Greg does, as Erica does, as I do, I can't believe I'm admitting it, but I've never once had an erection. You may not feel like your best self. If you want help with ED, and I would give anything, I've tried, you would not believe the amount of rhino horn I've snorted trying to get rid of this thing. It's like a stone around my neck. That's why I'm so glad that Roman is here. Roman connects you with real U.S. licensed healthcare professionals who can prescribe the medicine you need. No more going to a guy in a van in an alley who's grinding up rhino horn fresh. No more of that. With Roman, you can get free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED. Not even rhino-related. They don't even use the rhino anymore. All from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, not just rhino horn medication, but other like FDA medication, Roman will ship you real medicine or ground-up rhino horn with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and most importantly, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/JRVP. Complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to talk about, but we love it. It's all, I mean, like before the podcast even started, we had 20, 30 minutes. I thought we should be recording this. We just talked about erectile dysfunction, and Erica gave me several pointers, none of which worked out. But again, it's like it's not a one-time thing. It's not like you wave a magic wand. It's a bottle of pills. Just go to GetRoman.com/JRVP to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment, a free online visit, and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/JRVP for $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/JRVP. Now, Erica, do you have anything you want to add to this ad? I know some advertisers have wanted like to get Erica involved. What do you say about Roman?
I mean, trust me. Once you make that step to get this situation figured out, we're all going to be much, much happier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can turn her. You can turn her with the right stuff. And that was
ad copy.
What's your next headline, Greg?
All right. Those crazy Orthodox rabbis. You know, they're at it again. The Israeli rabbi Daniel Asor claimed recently in a broadcast to his followers that a COVID-19 vaccine may solve COVID, but it might also make you gay.
Yeah. I love this. I saw the headline, Orthodox rabbi, COVID vaccine will make you gay. And I thought this could go a bunch of different ways. Your first thought is like, oh, this guy's anti-gay and he's anti-vaccine and he's trying to like threaten you. But I thought like, what if he's just like got a secret and he's setting the groundwork? You know what I mean? He's like, I hear the COVID vaccine might make you gay. And then he shows up next month and he's like, what? I told you. No, this guy, yeah, I got the vaccine. That's why I'm with Carl. You know, it all depends on how he said it. If he's like, don't take the COVID vaccine will make you gay. Or he could have been like, the COVID vaccine will make you gay. You can hang out with me. Everyone get the COVID vaccine and we'll all be gay together. We can twirl the sideburns around and give each other head. You know, like it could have been a positive thing. It doesn't always you don't always have to go to a place of hate. He could be like trying
fucked.
He could be trying to get everybody on his team. You know?
Well, or it could just be like almost a gift that he's giving to all the closeted Israelis out there like himself. He sees this as an opportunity to like let the country of men like him be free.
Or straight people who can't handle the guilt of being straight. You know what I mean? That they're like, I would give anything to get a vaccine that would make me gay. And think about the party. Like people talk about when this is over and everyone's vaccinated, it'll be the roaring 20s again. Only if everyone's gay. Only if everyone who gets the vaccine turns gay. Then we're talking Matrix 2 orgy, which I know we've talked about in the show before. Isn't that the end goal? If you died and went to heaven and it's not an all gay Matrix orgy, aren't you mad? Aren't you mad at God? Aren't you mad at the time you've wasted?
Now, what if
this rabbi just wants someone to dance with? He's begging people to get the vaccine. It'll make you gay.
I think even for straight people, like a COVID vaccine that makes you gay would be extremely popular.
Go to a gay bar.
You know what I mean? Like, I want that COVID vaccine so bad. I would be gay for it. Like, whatever, just get me that goddamn vaccine.
Like if you went into the line for vaccine and they were like, okay, Greg, we're going to give you this vaccine and then you've got to suck this nurse's dick. Would you do
it? Well,
let's say they say suck the nurse's dick first and then you get the vaccine.
No, that's the whole point is it's
vaccine first
you.
And then the dick. Like, which would you agree to?
I'm saying I need that vaccine. So whatever. If the rest of my life, you know, it's going to be different, mix it up a little bit, like, just get me that vaccine. I want that vaccine.
So you wouldn't even try to get, you wouldn't be like, I'll take the vaccine for me, my wife, and my kids, and then
It for them too. Yeah, that goes without saying. You know?
I feel like you would just do it, and then afterwards you'd be like, wait, I could have gotten more? Like, I didn't, or someone comes in, the doctor's like, you didn't have to do that. The nurse was just fucking around. You know, I think this rabbi is just being a good rabbi and just trying to help his gay parishioners. get the vaccine.
What? I don't know. The whole, I feel like, or the Orthodox Jews and COVID haven't gone well, too well together. It's been a whole problem. I don't know if you've read about that in New York and stuff. Like, they basically kickstarted a whole second wave because none of them would listen to anything.
I mean,
and they all got fucking COVID.
Yeah, if there's a virus going around and you wear wool in the summer, you're gonna get it. You know, they were gonna get decimated immediately. Like, there were sheik doctors who shaved their beard. It's like against their religion to shave, but they're like, it's too dangerous with the COVID. We're shaving it. Orthodox Jews were like, nope, we're going out like this. I'm gonna meet God gay and with my full beard.
People in Brooklyn were kind of trying to shame them because people were like, oh, I'm so surprised Brooklyn has such high COVID numbers. And it's like, yeah, it's all the Orthodox guys just sucking cock and getting COVID.
Yeah, they thought not shaking women's hands was going
to
keep
it safe. Sounds so much worse for me. Why do I try to talk like you on this show?
Because I didn't say it like you. I didn't get filthy with it the way that you did. But I think that's part of your Jewish background. Even though you've rejected it wholly on an intellectual level, it's still inside of you. That's just could not be more filthy. But yeah, I think this Orthodox rabbi, I hope that he finds the love that he's looking for after getting the vaccine. But it sounds like a party. You know, it sounds like a vaccine party where he's almost like how women would do Botox parties, where like the one woman who gotten the divorce most recently would get a needle and a syringe and inject her friends with Botox. It's like that only. It's like, hey, come on over. I'll give you guys all the vaccine. And then let's watch a movie, see what happens.
You could like, you know, start doing like, they could almost start using it as a way to like, come to Israel. Come mm-hmm. to our vaccine parties.
We'll make you gay at the airport.
Literally.
You fly here. You just make it through a 12, 16 hour flight. And we'll make you gay when you hit the ground. And then you can see that wall that everyone's psyched about. Walk in a circle around it. I don't know. I don't really know much about religions, but I do know the COVID vaccine will make you gay if you're Jewish. If you're Christian, if you believe in the second true God. I mean, I think we all agree that it's Zeus, Jesus, and then the Jewish God. Mordecai? Is that the name? It's like it's those three. Right? You guys maybe are looking at me like I'm crazy.
I don't know Mordecai. I don't know.
It's the Jewish guy. It's the Jewish Jesus.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jews mm-hmm. don't really have a Jesus. Jesus is the Jewish Jesus.
What nope. about Moses?
He wasn't a guy.
Have you ever heard about Jews for Jesus?
Yeah, I get
it. Call him up and ask for Mordecai. And you'll get the vaccine on the spot.
Maybe this is what could solve the tension in the Middle East.
As if we haven't already? I think everyone in the Middle East.
Oh, that's
East
right. Jared did it.
Everyone in the Middle East just needs to chill out. That was a hot take, Greg. Thank you for bringing that in on January 19th, 2021. But I think that everyone needs to chill out, get the vaccine, and then let it happen. Let it happen. This might be my favorite story of the week. Actually, no.
You said it's twisting curls and giving. That's got to be the funniest thing.
This was my favorite one. It was three. Again, you put the winner maybe like right as the meat in our new sandwich here. So I'm not sure like why this story made it to a British newspaper last week of all weeks, but it was about a horse jockey, Anthony. I know you're into horse racing, who won a race at 20-1 odds despite not being like quote unquote like alive at the end of
was
the race.
Was he dead when they was he dead when they put him on the horse? Like was it 20-1 because of, like the jockey's dead? We don't have a lot of faith in this guy.
No,
he died during the race.
He was just a relative long shot, and medical examiners determined that he suffered a heart attack during the race, but the horse still carried him over the finish line, bouncing up and down to victory.
And did they revive him after, or he's dead?
He was just...
They put the tent up over the jockey?
He was just dead on the spot. I was waiting to hear your reaction first because I do want to tell you a second part of this story.
I haven't even gotten to my reaction yet. What would be funny is if the horse came across the finish line, the horse is still standing there, the doctors walk up, put a stethoscope to the jockey's heart, and then someone else just walks up and shoots the horse. Like, he's gone. It's too painful. When I saw this story, what made me happy was that it's clear that being a jockey is a scam. If a dead jockey can win, jockeys are just little people who weigh themselves. You know what I mean? Like, think about all the little people you've known in your life. None of them care how much they weigh. They're not like, oh, I'm trying to lose 10 pounds. Jockeys are little people who weigh themselves. It's the only thing that qualifies them to ride a horse. And if you can do it dead, you know, no one's ever won a NASCAR race after they died. You don't just like fall asleep and like lean on the wheel in a way that keeps you going left or whatever the fuck.
I think he probably had the heart attack late in the race, most likely.
He just didn't fall off the horse. It's all a jockey has to do is not fall off the horse, right? They hit it with a little whip.
Stuff. You got to do the thing.
They just have to weigh they can't weigh a lot. But I think you're going to see more dead jockeys. They're like, this
is going to be a trend.
This jockey died getting ripped in half, but we sewed him to the saddle. He looks like a minotaur with two heads. And he's going to win.
Maybe, you know how, like, say, you know, analytics has really revolutionized so many different sports. Like, maybe this will be the money ball for horse racing. Get, like, really small dead people to put on top of your horse.
Mm-hmm. I got this great new jockey. He's great. He's got stage 4 cancer. And he's just skin and bones. And he's not going to make it through the quarter lap he's got to run. But he's going to win. He's going to win this race. For all of us. What was the thing you wanted to add on?
They did think maybe one of the reasons why he died was that he had lost, like, you know, he tried to lose a ton of weight. He had lost, like, a ton of weight to make weight or whatever right before the race, and somehow that was a factor.
Do you have a heart attack from not eating and, like, riding horses?
I mean, okay, so the second part of the story, and I assume you didn't see this, and Erica probably didn't either, before she sent it out, was the story's from 1922. I'd have no idea why. I have no idea.
Really?
I don't know. This
would happen to us on Jimmy Fallon sometimes. We'd be writing monologue jokes, and we'd be like, I can't believe this is so crazy. We'd look for another source, and it's like, this either didn't happen, someone lied to you, or it happened 100 years ago. That's not good. Where did you find the story, Erica?
I don't remember.
It was a British. It was a British tabloid, and you know, in Erica's defense, you did have to go like three lines down or four before it said. You know, it kind of tricked you into thinking it just happened, but it's been like, you know, it's been quite a stir since this happened in 1923. One theory is trying to figure it out. That is like some famous story. It happened in Belmont, New York.
I don't blame Erica. You know, I just look at the headlines myself. And our podcast, the Jesselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
Jeremy B.
Junior Vice President,
is timeless. All right? You could go back. You could time travel with this, bring it back and listen to it on Apple Podcasts, not Spotify or the other ones, but Apple Podcasts. Maybe Google Play, if I'm saying that right. And people would be like, oh yeah, I remember that story. That was wild. But tell me more about the Orthodox rabbi.
I still think it was so funny. It really made me laugh just thinking about it, that it was well worth doing. And wouldn't it make like a great sports movie? Like, there's so many horse movies, you know, Black Beauty, and there's so many guys.
How many horse movies can you name right now? How many? Give me all the horse movies.
Well, there was the one recently, like, how about War Horse?
War Horse.
Seabiscuit.
Yep.
That was the one I was trying to think of.
Seabiscuit.
The Horse Whisperer, that was one with Robert Redford.
Uh-huh.
I think.
And Black Beauty you already gave us.
I think that's about all I got. But there are a lot. You got to admit, there's a lot of them.
Hidalgo. No one ever forget Hidalgo. Yeah, all the horse movies suck. I remember watching Seabiscuit and laughing so hard whenever they would show Tobey Maguire riding the horse, because it looks like he's just on one of those fucking things at like a children's playground that goes back and forth real fast. It's hilarious. Watching someone pretend to ride a horse is one of the funniest things that you can do.
That was a movie I remember like laughing like out of place at while watching the preview in the theater and having like everyone look at me, because it just looked like the most goddamn ridiculous movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, he lost a ton of weight, right? Or was it CGI? And that's why it was so weird looking.
He lost a ton of weight, but then they don't actually put him on a horse and like put a camera rig on the horse and make it run. They just like showed it in a way that made it look like what a horse would look like. And then maybe that's actually what happens, but it just looked absolutely ridiculous. And there's a lot of scenes of him like putting his nose up against Seabiscuit's nose and being like, come on, girl. Like, let's win this. Like, a movie about a horse always sucks. Every single one of them has always sucked.
Okay.
Except Hidalgo. Hidalgo, I'll give it up. Hidalgo is a dope movie.
Okay, but imagine this movie, and it's like the story of this dude who it's like his dream to become a jockey. You can come up with some backstory about the horse. You know, you're the writer here. But the climax of it is like the music swelling, like it's the big race. He's on the horse. And like just as he realizes like he's about to win and like achieve his dream, he just like dies on top of the horse. That's a movie.
It's the movie The Wrestler, but with horse racing. You know, I would just like to see after. I would think it would be like a Twilight Zone episode where the jockey's like, I've got to win. I've got to win this. I've got to win this race. I'll do anything to win this race. I need the money for my wife's operation. She also has a bad heart. And then he wins the race, but he dies doing it. You know what I mean? And then the horse cries. Like one tear goes down the horse's face as it's shot.
Can you imagine how pissed off the audience would be, like if they went to a movie and then at the end, like people coming to a horse racing movie do not want to see the jockey die on top of the horse and then the horse shot.
But if you went to a horse race and the jockey died, number one thing that would ever, I think they honor all bets. No matter who you bet on, you win. Like they just start throwing money out of the booth when a jockey dies.
Horse racing, underrated, like an underrated activity. Always have fun going to a horse race.
Not a fan. I like. I just like picking the horses by name. Never won a dollar betting on horses. Only done it like two or three times. But I do always pray that a jockey will die. This might be my favorite. This is the one. This is the story. Every week there's like a story I text you guys. Like, I got to talk about this. This is the one this week.
Okay, this one, it's simple. It's a UK man, a UK pedophile.
It's natural. It's simple. It's natural.
Yeah, who wanted to, was famous for wanting to eliminate the age of consent, not so sadly died of COVID-19 recently.
How old was he?
He was 66 years old.
If you look at the picture, he looks like the definition of a child molester. If you were like draw a child molester to someone who didn't understand the words that you were saying, like a Spanish person who was like a child molester, but you just said draw it, they would draw this guy. I just like the idea of getting arrested for something and then trying to change the law that you got arrested for. Like, doesn't every pedophile who's ever been arrested want to change the law of age of consent? And was anyone like, like, we'll hear this out. Like, we're going to appeal this one and see if we can take it to the Supreme Court and see if we can get the age of consent changed to get you out of here.
So I was curious about this too. He was the head of
NAMBLA?
Similar, and a British activist group that was called the Pedophile Information Exchange Group.
What?
The Pedophile Information Exchange Group. PIEG.
Pigs.
They were kind of like activists.
It sounds like, if you remember Married with the Children, it sounds like No Ma'am. You know, the group that Al Bundy was a part of, where they didn't like their wives. Only that. I mean, groups like NAMBLA and this one, what was it called again? Pig?
It was the Pedophile Information Exchange Group.
Yeah. I mean, to be a part of that group is like, what are you doing? Like I assume that every person who's ever been a part of that group has been arrested.
Right, that's the part I don't understand, because he was in jail when he died of COVID-19. So he had been.
Did he form the group afterwards?
Right. That I was unclear about. I don't think so. I mean, you would think, yeah, it would be pretty easy sleuthing to just kind of check the minutes of the old pedophile exchange information group meetings and be like, all right, everyone on this list is arrested.
I would think that, like, that they say it's tough for child molesters in prison, that they get the worst. But if you were like, they're like, hey, we're going to beat you up and cut you up because you molested kids. And he's like, guys, I understand where you're coming from, but trust me, I'm trying to change the age of consent. I'm in here. I've got law books in the library. I'm working overtime. Don't beat me up. I'm gonna fix this. I'm gonna fix this for everyone. And he never did it. How close did he get?
I mean, I don't think he got close to changing the British laws. If that's what you were asking. One little detail that I did find interesting, though. What's
the age of consent in
Britain? I mean, I could Google that. I
think it's 16. I'm gonna guess that it's lower than it is in America.
I wonder who we got caught with. It's state by state.
I like how you shouted that out. Like you've said that. You've said that. Like it's 16 in New Hampshire, Your Honor. I just like the idea of someone who's like, it's like, oh, the guy who got arrested for shoplifting is trying to get shoplifting legalized. Yeah, of course.
I would assume the information exchange that, I mean, were they just like exchanging?
I bet every message was, it's great. It's great. Hey guys, it's the best. It's worth it.
And they had like raided his house and found all this stuff or whatever, but there was like all these hard drives with encrypted stuff that they could never figure out like how to unencrypt it. Like it was too good. The pedophile exchange information group, like the information was too solidly blocked.
I mean, that's too bad. All those pictures going to waste. It's a shame. Rest in peace, King. You're in heaven now, molesting angels.
Total silence. It's too much. It's too far, Anthony. That now you finally did it. You went too far.
Who are you doing an impression of right now?
That's just me. That's myself. No, that's myself. That's just me. I was kind of referencing like that. We had a question a few weeks ago. Has Anthony ever gone too far? Now he did.
Sorry if going too far is being happy that a child molester died, Greg. I'm sorry that you think that this child molester should have lived forever and changed the law and become King of England.
I need that music. Let's hear it.
Put him on money. Let him marry one of the actresses from Suits. Let him wear one of those big hats with the chin strap.
I mean, are there like other laws that you can imagine breaking or law breakers that you would think would be funny if they just tried to change the law immediately after?
I think if you got a parking ticket and you went into court and said, Your Honor, I'd like to change the law. I think it's always funny, and especially for like no one's going to be like, oh, we hated you when you got arrested for child molestation, but now that you're going through the legal system and going, you know, trying to cut through the red tape, we kind of respect your effort, you know.
All right, our final story today is about a shawarma shop in Moscow that was forced to close just one day after it opened following an outcry over its provocative Joseph Stalin-themed branding. It was a Stalin-themed restaurant.
See, I didn't know it was a shawarma place. It said just hilarious. Stalin-themed cafe. I just assumed it was like a coffee house that was just had like Stalin-themed. Like, why would you do that in Russia? He's not well-regarded by most people. That what's funny to me is that Stalin must have been a compromise. You know they wanted to go full Hitler. And they were like, you know what? Hitler's shawarma is not going to – we're going to get in trouble. And the guy was like, it's my money. I want to do what I want. And they were like, let's knock it down. How about Stalin instead of Hitler? And they were like, okay, let's go with Stalin. Let's roll the dice. And they made it 24 hours and then got shut down.
Well,
Didn't they have a Hitler fried chicken in Japan?
What?
I swear to God, they had a Hitler fried chicken in Japan.
Stop. What?
No way. Erica, Google it right now.
But anyways, you know, this was in Moscow, so the Stalin theme makes, I guess, a little more sense than a Hitler one. Inside, like when you would come inside the restaurant, and we'll get to that reaction quickly. A man was dressed in a Stalin-era security service uniform, and he served the customers different shawarma meat wraps that were all named after different Soviet leaders.
I mean, it's you don't need to do it. Shawarma is good. People are going to want to eat your wraps. You know, it's not like I'm hungry, but I want to be reminded of one of the worst periods of our history. How can we do that? Like, was this guy a history buff, or was he just like we gotta stand out somehow?
I mean, it was unclear. He thought, I think, that it would get some attention. It's like going back, you know, it's like nostalgia. You're right, you know, not a great history. What was it called? The Great Atrocities. You know, it's like he's kind of the guy who's known as got off the hook a little bit, because I think they executed like, you know, 500,000 to 1 million people, but that ended up looking like less compared to Hitler. But I think there is a thought in Russia, you know, he helped us win World War II, so there's some mixed feelings maybe among some.
Here's what you need to know about Joseph Stalin, okay? He was played by Robert Duvall in an HBO movie. End of discussion. Erica, where are we with that Hitler chicken in Japan?
You are right. It is in Thailand, and KFC actually took out legal action because they used the same logo, and it's called HFC, Hitler Fried Chicken, with like Hitler with the mustache like on the Colonel Sanders with a red background.
Yeah. People love their history, and people love the chicken. But shawarma, I mean, I understand like a cafe where it's like intellectuals coming to drink coffee, and you got a Stalin theme, so it's like we can discuss the atrocities and what took place. But shawarma is, I mean, that's, what is this? The end of the Avengers, part one? I don't think so.
The thing about it that surprises me is how surprised he seemed. Like, he was just like, I thought it'd be great. Like, we served 200 people the first day. Like, people were coming. And the police just like made us shut down. They threatened us. They said there was nothing illegal that we did, but they were just like, you better shut down.
And okay, so it wasn't like people weren't coming to the store and said, hey, we hate this. Don't open in our neighborhood. It was a popular place.
I think people, you know, there's probably some pop. I don't even want to guess, but there's probably some support there. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They got their political divisions. Maybe it was a way to shout out to that.
Cut out for a second. I want to hear someone getting like a Trotsky gelato place down the street, you know, just bring it all back, like a World War II themed water park where it's freezing cold and they spray you with hoses if you're Italian, and you die when you go down the slide. Know your history, guys. What am
That's pretty good for right off the top of your head.
I feel like thank God Eliza Schlesinger listens to this podcast and she gets that joke. But you guys have no idea. Study up on your World War II.
I just gave you a whole bunch of Stalin facts. There's no way Ricky would have had that.
Ricky Hollywood?
Erica, yeah. Sorry. It's confusing. She goes by many names.
Mm-hmm. And now it's time for...
Choo-choo.
Actually, but before we get on the tracks, where would you rather eat? Hitler's fried chicken in Thailand or Stalin's shawarma?
I'd go with the Stalin shawarma. Mm-hmm. I also want to see what else was on the menu. It was like other meat products named after other Soviet leaders. So.
How about you, Erica?
I'm going to Thailand.
You're going to Thailand for the Hitler chicken?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Hitler chicken's going to be oven baked, not fried. And I feel like Stalin shawarma just sounds good to me right now. I wish I could eat shawarma.
Just like, you know, the shawarma, you know, the whole point was the oven baked joke. That's it. Doesn't really matter what the Stalin part is.
I'm still talking to Yumit from America's Corner. I'm telling him how to set up jokes. And now it's time for
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Greg, do you have something this week?
I do. It's a little different. I'm going to recommend an article. It was called The Plague Year. It was by Lawrence Wright. It was in The New Yorker a couple weeks ago. You know, you can get it online, though, if you haven't used up your free articles. It took up like half the issue, basically. He's a novelist and like a thriller writer who happened to write a novel about the pandemic, a pandemic, like right before the pandemic started. And he ended up kind of like writing a recap and reporting it all out, almost as if like what the last year was like was like a suspense thriller movie, with like cinematic type scenes at the beginning where like you kind of know where everything's going to go wrong. And I know like asking people to read about the pandemic right now might not sound like the most fun thing in the world to do, but it was kind of amazing.
That sounds awful to me. It's like the last thing I want to do is read more of this stuff. But if you're saying if you're going to do it, this is the one to read. Maybe in a few years I'll go revisit and be like, oh yeah, I remember what it was like.
But it was from, you know, it had a lot of stuff that I would have never known. Like the reporting in it's kind of amazing. But like, you know, there's like a scene at the beginning. It seemed very cinematic where, you know, it's like the guy from China calls the US and he's like crying and saying like, I think it's too late. I think like we're fucked and like stuff like that. And it was so novelistic. He was kind of the perfect guy to do it.
This was before it happened?
He wrote an actual book right before. So he had done all this research. Anyways, it's probably about like a 50-page type of thing.
So what you're saying is you play the game with the soldiers that you drafted. Erica, what do you have for us this week? You had nothing last week.
I know.
This week. A lot of pressure.
I know. I have a novel called Interior Chinatown, and it's by Charles Yu. And it's written really cool. It's unlike anything that I've read because it's written almost like a screenplay in this novel. And he's basically stuck as this generic Asian man. And it sort of talks about, you know, the Chinatown experience, but trying to make it as not just a generic Asian man and trying to become Kung Fu guy. Basically sort of the Asian American experience and how they're sort of overlooked.
I'm sorry, that sounded insanely offensive. He doesn't want to be average Asian man. He wants to become Kung Fu guy.
Those are his words. That's the whole plot of the story. It's like he's typecast because he's Asian American, that like every Asian American wants to be Kung Fu guy in the movies, like well regarded and, you know, the hot thing, but they're always like generic Asian man or old Asian man, like in working at a fryer or, you know, so it's written and sort of he's like stuck in this character that he can't get out. It was really, really, really cool. Really well done.
Okay. Sounds like it's really shattering stereotypes.
Yeah.
That like you don't have to be the old Asian man. You can be a Kung Fu master.
Yeah.
If you're Asian and in film.
I think it won the National Book Award. I could be wrong.
I've definitely heard of it. So good on you, Erica, for reading a real book. I'm recommending a book. It came out a few years ago and it blew me away. Truly loved this book. I'm not a big memoir guy, but the book, I forget where I saw this recommended as like an amazing read. It's called I Am, like I Am, comma, I Am, comma, I Am by Maggie O'Farrell. Each chapter, it's like 17 chapters, and it's a very like just cut to the chase memoir, 17 different times she almost died in her life. And it's just fascinating. It's a great read. The stories that could go from harrowing to the banal, but she writes so well. And I flew through it in a day. And any book where you tear through like 250 pages in a day, I'm going to highly recommend. So if you like memoirs, you like stories of near-death experiences and just kind of what we're all going through now, so appreciating what you have while you have it, read I Am by Maggie O'Farrell. It's got that little Irish thing with the comma in the air in between O and Farrell, two L's.
Comma really in saved, the air. Saved it at the end there. Oh, maybe you didn't save it at the end.
Comma in the air is how it's referred to in literature.
I think Anthony was going into like post show mode just like a little too early.
I did. I'm not gonna lie. I checked out. I checked out while Erica was explaining Interior Chinatown, and then I had to get my own recommendation out there. But it's a great book. I highly recommend. And that was the podcast Walker. Get us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.
Yes, it is.